In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In a recent book, two authors analyzed best-selling books in America and answered the question why we read what we read. They found that many of the books had a common theme of redemption. Redemption, as they defined it. Redemption leading to a happily ever after ending. In romance novels, for example, the plot is almost always the same. So I'm told. I'm not a reader of romance novels. But the theme is boy-girl meet, boy-girl fall in love, boy-girl have fight, caused, of course, by some flaw in the boy, boy-girl make up, boy-girl get married and live happily ever after. In the self-help genre of books, the redemption is overcoming some flaw in your life, smoking, overeating, poverty, and so forth. And so, redeemed from smoking, redeemed from being overweight, redeemed from poverty, you will live happily ever after. In the suspense genre, the redemption is overcoming some agency, some force, some power set against you. In The Bourne Identity, for example, the hero Jason Bourne is working to redeem himself. After having been transformed by the CIA's evil Treadstone Project into a killing machine. But then he later begins to feel the pangs of guilt. But having defeated his enemy, he goes off to live happily ever after. Reading The Lord of the Rings, we're hopeful. At least I was the first time I read it. I was hopeful that Gollum would actually turn and become Sméagol again by the kind treatment of Frodo. But then our hopes of redemption were dashed by Shelob's lair and a maniacal Gollum struggling with an unseen Frodo on a precipice. And when he falls into the fires of Mount Doom. Of course, this kind of redemption, this self-help, this good in man overcoming his flaws, so popular in American culture, has nothing to do with the redemption as witnessed in the scriptures. In C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, on the other hand, that book portrays a biblical view of redemption in the person of Edmund. Edmund, who betrayed his own brother and sisters into the hands of the evil white witch, all for the love of Turkish delight, is redeemed by the sacrificial death of Aslan, and in his resurrection, the victory is extended over all of Narnia. The call of Matthew is this latter kind of redemption. No self-redemption, no pull me up by my bootstrap solution. Matthew was called by Christ unto Christ. Christ did not look upon Matthew's sinfulness or judge him unworthy to be his disciple, even though Matthew was unworthy. He was a tax collector. Despised by his Jewish brothers and sisters, for Matthew had betrayed them for the Turkish delight of gold and silver. But this betrayal was not enough for Christ to forsake Matthew, nor the other tax collectors and sinners who flocked to him, nor you. For your sinful betrayals of your brothers and sisters. Yes, that's right. your betrayal, as when you withhold your gold and silver from your neighbors in need, as when you, by your words, wrongly accuse or join in character assassination, or fail to speak up and defend a brother or sister in Christ. You know these commandments. And like Matthew, you know that you fail to keep them, break them. Repent and hear Christ call out to you, sinners. Nevertheless, follow me. Indeed, Christ says that to you betrayers, like he did to Matthew, to the other tax collectors, for he knew another betrayal loomed ahead of him, and he told Matthew so, and the other disciples several times on his way to the cross, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And on the third day, he shall be raised. Oh, the irony of Christ. He purchased and won this tax collector who made a living pinching gold and silver from his neighbors. But Christ purchased and won him, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. And indeed, by that precious blood, he redeemed you and the whole world. Thus, not looking at Matthew's sins, but looking forward to his cross, Christ judged Matthew forgiven, along with all of the other tax collectors and sinners, and his propitiation is for you too. By his sacrifice unto death and by his rising to life again, Christ became for Matthew his righteousness, his sanctification, his redemption. He is yours too. Not a puffed up, look at me, I can do it on my own, false Pharisaical redemption, not the redemption popular in American literature today, but the redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of your trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Dear friends, the call of Matthew is a story of redemption. Redemption by Christ, who came not to call righteous, but sinners. Confess it, sinners, and like Matthew, follow his call. Follow it all the way to this altar, and there meet your Lord and Savior Jesus. There receive the riches of his grace, the fruits of his redemption. In the name of Jesus, amen.